Welcome to the show, family. Counting down to election. We got a VIP alert. Big Rob got a VIP alert.
Man. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. VIP.
Yes. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, welcome back to the show. How you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me back. It's a pleasure to be here.
It is an honor to have you here. A lot of stuff has happened since the last time we talked.
Oh, yeah.
You.
2020. It's been a year.
Yeah, I think like a couple of days after we had you on radio last, this whole incident with this guys plotting to kidnap the governor came up.
Yeah, that was not cool.
You see how she said it, PA? That wasn't cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a lot of stuff happen, and obviously, you know, it's been a time of upheaval. It's been a time of unrest. It's been a time of uncertainty. But I will say this, you know, I'm super excited because we're just about a week away from election season. I mean, well, we're in election season, but it's, you know, November 3rd is the official date, although obviously everybody's been voting already. And I'm just excited to get the word out, because the best thing that all of us can do to make a difference in our state, to make a difference in our country, and to make sure that things are on the right track, are to put the right people in positions of authority in this country, and people that believe in bringing us together instead of kidnapping and, you know, the governor, right?
Right. I would like to know your first expression when you heard about this.
Well, I can't say there's some, you know, moment when I heard about it and was like, oh my God, because, you know, obviously it's part of my job to be aware of things as they're developing. So, right. You know, obviously these groups we've had an eye on these groups for quite some time. And I think that should be the message for people, that these groups are not operating in a manner where, you know, authorities aren't keeping a watchful eye on them to protect the public, so that when arrests are made, it's before something really tragic and terrible has happened and not afterwards. And as I have said about this plot with the governor, I'd much rather be charging a conspiracy case than a homicide case, right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, did you get all of them off the street?
Well, look, you know, I'd like to say that every single person in the state of Michigan or across the country that we think poses a danger, whether it's to elected officials, whether it's to law enforcement, to our legislators, to minority groups around the state and the country, that, you know, we didn't have any other bad actors out there. I can't say that. That would be dishonest for me to say that. But what I can say is that we are working aggressively to target anybody who we think would bring harm to anyone else. And as you probably know, within the first couple months that I took office, I established a hate crimes division at the Department of Attorney General, because I was very concerned about our minority groups are, you know, being targeted. And, you know, listen, we've all seen what's happened over the course of the last several years. And my position is this: I don't want to have people in elected office, whether they're, you know, a county sheriff, whether they're a county commissioner, whether they're the president of the United States, that disparages entire groups of people in our country, entire demographics in our country, even entire states, just based on whatever their political affiliation is, what their race is, what their ethnicity or national origin is. I ran for office on the premise that everyone is entitled to equal protection under the law. And we're doing everything we can to make sure that those bad actors are not able to follow through on their threats or their plans to hurt people.
Well, I know last time we went over, so I'm a speed thing. I know I got some questions I got to ask you, but I got to know about this citizen's arrest. What is that? What is that in New Michigan?
Like, you know, so let me say this. Traditionally, the way that has operated, when you talk about a citizen's arrest, normally what it is, for instance, let's say you're a shopkeeper and you, you know, you have a whatever, you have a gas station or a drugstore or a dollar store, whatever it is, and you catch somebody who is actively you know, committing retail fraud or something. And if you want to detain that person while the police have been called until they arrive, that's usually what we consider a citizen's arrest. Or, for instance, let me give you another example. You've seen cases where somebody's had too much to drink, but they refuse to surrender their keys, and you have somebody just block their car in so that they can't get out on the road and hurt anybody. In the meantime, you call the police, and you're waiting for the police to arrive. Those are the kinds of things that we've deemed to be acceptable under the law. But there is no such real citizen's arrest in that any person out there who is not a licensed police officer, who is not an official member of a law enforcement agency, they can't just decide, well, I think the governor has committed a felony, so I'm going to go ahead and arrest her. That is not appropriate. That is illegal. That is an illegal detention. It's a kidnapping. It's an assault. And it is not permissible. And I don't care what any county sheriff says about it. I'm telling you that we have heavily researched this at the Department of Attorney General. And of course, the remarks that were made by the Berry County Sheriff have been widely disputed by all agencies, Prosecuting Attorneys Association, Sheriff's Association, the Chiefs of Police. That is not a legitimate act. And in fact, it's a crime. So when we talk about citizen's arrest, it's really the type of situations that I spoke of, and not just anybody out there that feels like they have authority to detain someone. It's just not that's not the law, and it's a crime.
Yeah, I wonder if the sheriff had a problem if somebody would have rolled down on him and do a citizen arrest on him.
No. I don't think he would. I don't think he'd like that.
Some cats from the city ride down up on him. He messing with Big Gretch. You know, he loves Gretch. Right. So voting rights. A lot of different news floating out there about voting rights.
Definitely.
Yeah. What can you summarize? Some of the voting rights we have.
Sure, I'd love to. First of all, you know, we have had a very long history in this nation, unfortunately, of voter suppression, especially against minority communities, especially against the African American community. And, you know, I think it's so important that everybody know exactly what their rights are. And I hope that everyone will take this opportunity to exercise their rights. So many people have fought so hard for everyone in this country to have an opportunity to vote. It's just such a damn shame to waste that, you know? Mm-hmm. So let me say this. Firstly, we have great laws put on the books since 2018. Prop 3 passed overwhelmingly. In terms of who can register to vote, it's practically anybody who is 18 years old, at least, and a U.S. citizen. And the great thing is, there's not really a cutoff date to register to vote. You can go to your clerk's office and you can register to vote and vote on the very same day, all the way up through election day. Wow. It's not too late. And in fact, we really encourage people to get out there and go to their clerk's office and vote early. Why wait in line on November 3rd? There's no reason to. I suspect it's going to be cold. Go vote right now. You know, firstly, if you already ordered your absentee ballot and you just have it sitting on your kitchen counter because you haven't voted yet, please remember that it's too late to send it through the mail. As you might recall, I had to sue the post office because the Postmaster General had intentionally delayed the mail, mostly, frankly, in communities of color. And they had actually stripped out sorting machines so that in Detroit, for instance, there are estimates that people were going without mail delivery for 5 days in a row. Maybe we were even had, service only 2 or 3 days a week at most. So at this point, what we're asking everybody to do, if you have that absentee ballot, go to your clerk's office or go to your drop box. You can go to michigan.gov/vote. And just turn it in. And again, if you're not available to do that during clerk's office hours, just put it right in the drop box and you can track your ballot. Go to, michigan.gov/vote, and it will tell you, so you can confirm that your ballot has been received by the clerk, so you know it's going to be counted. But remember this, It has to be received by November 3rd, Election Day, at 8 p.m. or will not be counted. So it's very important that it get there in time. Some other things in addition I want to let people know, and I think we've talked about this before, but if you have, you know, criminal convictions on your record, doesn't matter. You're still an American citizen. You can vote. If you are on parole or probation, doesn't matter. You can still vote. And you don't need to do anything. You don't have to get your voting rights restored the way you have to in Florida or other states. In Michigan, all you got to do, go to your clerk's office, register to vote like every other person, right? If you are a person that struggles with homelessness and you don't have a permanent address, it doesn't matter. Go to your clerk's office. You can use virtually any address that's an area that you stay in. If you sometimes maybe get your meals at a particular church, or if there's a particular area of town, even the address of a park is fine. Still, go in, register to vote. You're still an American citizen. Go in and have your voice heard and vote. And again, you can do it at the same time. It's so easy. You register at the exact same time as you vote. So you can go into your local clerk's office and do that. But the thing that I really want to caution people about that's so important is that because we are seeing more enthusiasm this year than we've seen in God knows how long, we have record numbers of registration. We have a record number of people so far who have voted absentee. Over 2.1 million people in Michigan have already voted. Wow. And we expect it to be over 3 million just absentee ballots. But the law in Michigan is you cannot start counting those ballots if you're a clerk until 7 a.m. on election day. So what that means is be prepared on election night. We will not know who the winner is for the presidential race in Michigan. And if any candidate comes out and says, I won Michigan, that candidate is a liar, because there's no way that we can possibly have counted all of those ballots in time. So what we should get prepared for is not election night, but election week. And what the Secretary of State's going to do, she's going to keep updating us. She'll be like, we're through 10% of the ballots, or 20%, or 30%. Her expectation is that we'll have all the ballots counted likely by Friday, November 6th. But, you know, it's going to take some time. And in other states, they get to count the ballots as they come in, but not in Michigan. So just hold tight. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with those ballots. But just, you know, understand that it's going to take a little bit to count them. So let's all get ready for that.
Alice McMillan said, what is that website for checking to see if you have received your, if they received your vote? She wanted you to repeat it again.
Michigan.gov/vote.
There you go. There you go. Michigan.gov. That's matter of fact, Kay Pittman put that up on the screen. And if you have any questions for the Attorney General, you can type it into the comment section. We'll try to get to it. A lot of people are chiming in on this conversation. People are excited about this election. Why do you think it is so much excitement there?
Well, I have my own ideas about that. I think that. Listen, I'm not shy about saying that I think that the President of the United States has done a disservice to our country and, frankly, to the world at large. And I think we can do better. And I honestly, you know, my personal feeling is this is not a president that represents all of us. This is a president, instead of uniting us, has divided us. And I think a lot of people are looking for a change. Also, we're in the midst of a global pandemic that we haven't seen in over 100 years, and people are hurting right now. People want a president that is going to take this virus seriously and have a national plan put in place and get rid of this thing as quickly as possible. And in terms of approaching it, pretending it doesn't exist seemingly has not worked very well for us.
Yeah, that seems to be, and those are the folks who are getting the virus. The ones that's making it seem like they don't exist end up going to the hospital.
Absolutely.
But a good question came from Bob Acker, the voice of the Big Reds radio network here in Muskegon. I'm in Orlando, Florida right now. They opened up the basketball stadium for polling, for people to vote here in Orlando. Are there plans? Are there plans to open up big venues, some of the stadiums we have for voting?
Well, so there was some talk about that, but I haven't heard that any clerks have taken any stadiums up on that right now. And I will say, so many people are voting absentee that hopefully, you know how we see those really long lines in other states. Mm-hmm. We haven't had that problem because we have no reason absentee voting here. So because so many people can vote early, hopefully we won't have those kinds of lines come Tuesday. And that's why we're really encouraging everybody, to vote now. We have all week long clerk's hours. And then even this weekend, all clerks in the state of Michigan are required to be open for at least 8 hours this weekend. So, instead of having to try to miss work, so many of us don't have election day off, and to have to stand in line potentially for several hours, why do it when you don't have to? You can go in person at your clerk's office any day this week or over the weekend or Monday, or you can just go in, get your ballot, go home, evaluate your options. You don't have to be pressured to vote right then, and then drop it off in the drop box. But if you want to vote on election day, let me say this, because a lot of people feel like, I want to vote in person. And it's just a point of pride, and it's really important to them. And I will say, for myself, up until the August primary, I always voted in person. And frankly, I love voting in person. It gives me a source of excitement and pride in my country. But I'll tell you what, with COVID, I'm not as excited about that prospect. Right. So I voted absentee. So what I would say to people, it's not, if you do want to vote on election day, firstly, the clerks will put protocols in place to keep people safe. So for instance, all the workers will have masks. They're going to be regularly disinfecting everything. They're going to make sure people are socially distant from each other. So you can feel as safe as you possibly can, given the fact that you're going to be going into a polling location. And the other thing I want to say is this. I don't want people to feel threatened or intimidated, like there's going to be people at the polls that are going to engage in voter intimidation. We have seen that in other states, but we have not seen that so far in Michigan. And as Michigan's top law enforcement official, let me tell you right now, we're not putting up with that. Absolutely not. We're going to be as aggressive as possible. If we see that anywhere, we're going to make sure to crack down on it as quickly as possible. But if I can give your listeners a number, if you go to the polls and anybody gives you a hard time at all, please call us at the Department of Attorney General, 517-335-7659. If somebody could put this up on the screen, 517-335-7659. We are going to have, most government offices are closed on election day, but at my department, we're going to have a slew of lawyers and investigators. We're going to be ready to go. If people want to vote on election day, great. We're going to make sure you're safe.
Well, Big Rob, I'm coming to you after this this question, and we got a couple online questions I want to ask you. Has Iran and Russia and any other foreign country been trying to interfere with the elections?
Right. Yeah. So let me talk about what that means. Okay, so the answer is, have they been trying to? Yes, they've been trying to. But let me talk about how that works in Michigan. We have a very decentralized system, and we have paper ballots. So it's not the kind of thing where they can hack into a computer system and boom, they've changed the results. It's just not possible. So the way that they try to interfere is they put out misinformation. So here's an example. They could, we had those robocalls that went out to 12,000 residents in Detroit, and they told voters that your information would be shared with the CDC and shared with law enforcement. Wow. and shared with creditors. So it scares people from wanting to register to vote absentee. So you're not actually messing with the vote count. The vote count, is still accurate, but maybe you decide you're not going to vote. So it's that kind of voter suppression, or it's putting false information and saying, oh, you missed your chance to register, even though you can register all the way through election day. If you think, well, I'm not registered and I haven't registered yet, so I can't vote, that's a form of voter suppression. So that's the kind of techniques that they use It's scaring people out of voting. But in terms of changing the vote, they can't do that to us. It's actually not even possible to do it. So I just want everybody to understand, when the votes are tabulated, that will be an accurate, we'll have an accurate vote count. And anything that you're hearing out there saying that, you know, you can't trust the vote count and that somebody can interfere with that, or that there are, you know, dead people voting, or that there's fraudulent ballots coming in, we have a system to track that. So if it happens, it's very, very easy to catch that. And those votes are not counted if anybody tries to do that.
Who would try that? Like, I don't get that one. Who would try to get dead people votes in?
Well, I'm just going to give you an example. I remarked on a tweet that went out by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, who talked about the fact that he went and voted in line in person in early voting, and then he went home and he said he voted for all his dead relatives by absentee ballot. First of all, that's a lie, because there's no way that their clerk sent those out. But let's say for some reason, for any reason, that happened, we have a way to chart all that stuff. So you might know, for instance, that there were a number of people in the primary, several hundred, who actually were alive when they voted, but very sadly passed before election day when the votes were counted. And the Secretary of State was able to find each and every single person who was no longer alive. Now, that wasn't intentional election fraud. That was an actual live person who voted, but then their vote can't count if they're deceased at the time that the ballots were counted. But they caught every one of them because they have systems in place for that. So I want your listeners to know, and please, everybody who's listening to this broadcast, please spread the word. When the numbers come in, those numbers are accurate. So if somebody tells you, the election's been stolen from us, the only way the election can be, quote unquote, stolen is by encouraging people to not vote at all. You know, that is how your vote is stolen, is by you buying into that inaccurate information or misinformation and then not participating in the system and not being part of our democracy.
Attorney General Dana Nassar, Big Rob, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. thank you for joining us, Attorney General. I read on ZZM13 that you are investigating 450 accused priests and for the last 2 years, and 11 men have been charged in this investigation so far out of the 450. These are Catholic priests who molested boys and things of that nature. How and why did you do it? Because most of the time when you hear stuff about Catholic priests, a lot of people kind of like stay away from that. But
right.
You're going in.
You're brave.
Yeah.
Well, it was 2 years ago that our department executed 7 different search warrants into every diocese in the state of Michigan. And we collected millions and millions of documents, and we have been steadily reviewing those documents. Now, unfortunately, most of those priests that we know about can't be charged for a couple different reasons. One, some of these cases are old and those priests, you know, are deceased at this point. Mm-hmm. Or two, the statute of limitations has run on those cases and we can't lawfully charge them. But, you know, we believe that every case should still be investigated, because if you're a person who's been a victim of sexual assault, you know, we think that your case still needs to be investigated. You deserve as much, right?
Right.
So at the end, when all of this is over, we will publish a full report so everybody can understand what happened. But my goal in this, it's not just to hold as many people accountable who have committed sexual assault or sexual abuse as I can under the law and as the facts support, but also just to let people know, like, what went wrong here? You know, what happened that this was permitted to go on for so long? We see so many circumstances where reports were made to a particular diocese that, you know, a clergy member was abusing, you know, sometimes abusing adults, sometimes abusing young children. And then instead of those officials who found out going to the police, as you would think they would do. They merely would, you know, pay off the victim sometimes and transfer that clergy member someplace else where they didn't know them, where they'd go on to continue committing acts of abuse.
Sickening. And
so what I want to make sure is we know exactly what happened. Like, how was this permitted to happen? What was this like veil of secrecy that existed that permitted this to continue? For how do we make sure in the future this never happens again? And how do we get the mentality out there where people feel like the second you hear about sexual assault or sexual abuse, your first move is to report it to law enforcement, not to try to cover it up?
Exactly. And I commend you 100% on doing this. God knows we need to go back and get this right. I think this country has been wrong on a lot of things, and one of the things that's been wrong on definitely is letting sexual abusers, sexual assaulters, rapers get off, and families been telling their kids to, it's going to be okay, just get over it. You don't just get over it. Hurt people hurt people. Unfortunately, probably a lot of those folks who've been abused goes out to abuse other folks.
Right.
And that's why I think for a lot of these cases, even when the statute of limitations is run, I talked to this one woman who was in her 70s. Both she and two of her sisters had been sexually abused by the same priest. And you know what? It was just, even though this priest was long gone, had passed away many years ago, I think it was just the confirmation that this had happened to her and that it was wrong.
Right.
He had investigated it, and it just made her feel like, you know, somebody in law enforcement was acknowledging what happened to her was wrong.
Right. Okay, we got an online question coming from Reuben Crosby. I don't know the basis of this, but he said, can you ask her about the multi-state settlement? Is there a settlement going on with your office and other states?
Well, we have so many all the time. I think I would have to be more specific so I knew more about what Reuben was talking about. Can we get a topic?
Reuben, if you steer there, type in the topic, what the settlement might be about, and she can address that. Have you talked to the governor since all this whole deal with these guys trying to, plotting up to kidnap her? Have you been in like constant communication with her?
Yeah, we talk fairly regularly. Mm-hmm.
Wow, is she okay?
Yeah, I think she's a little shaken up. I mean, who wouldn't be under those circumstances? I will say this. Now, as you know, because we talked about this before, and I know you guys talk about it regularly, mm-hmm. The Flint water crisis.
Right.
Obviously, you know, we settled the civil cases. We're in the midst of that settlement. We have another team of attorneys, of prosecutors who are handling the criminal cases. And that investigation is ongoing. But, you know, the allegations in that case, just the allegations were that the governor in some way, shape or form was involved in an effort to save money, switching over the water system and potentially, allegedly, poisoning a whole lot of people's water. And I bring that up because people were pretty upset about that, but I don't remember anybody threatening to kidnap and execute Governor Snyder.
Right.
And yet
right.
Here, this set of circumstances, what are people mad about? Because Governor Whitmer, A, was trying to get people to wear a mask to stop the spread of a virus that's killed over 7,000 people in our state and over 225,000 people across the United States. And two, that she was limiting the number of people who could be around each other at one time, and that she was closing down certain types of businesses or schools to protect people, to save their lives. So in one instance, you have a governor who theoretically was jeopardizing people's lives.
Right.
No threats against him. Then on the other hand, you have a governor who's, everything she's doing is in an effort to save people's lives. And all these death threats, people coming together to come up with ways to do terrible harm to her. Now, I don't know what to say about that set of circumstances. I got a lot of theories.
This is a twisted world.
Yeah.
It is. All right. Anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go?
Well, I just want to put another plug in for how important it is for everybody to get out there and vote. Anybody that's listening to your show right now, you know, I know that they're engaged. Or else they wouldn't be listening today. But I just hope that for all your listeners, and for everybody they know. I mean, everybody on your contact list, you know, people that you're in touch with over Facebook or email or your contacts in your cell phone or what have you. Please let everybody know how important it is that we vote. You know, we forfeit our right to complain about our government if we don't participate in the process. And as I've said before, and let me speak directly, if it's okay, to the African-American community.
Sure.
So many people for so many years have worked so hard to make sure you don't vote. You know, get out there and defend the work that John Lewis and so many others did over the course of so many decades, who worked so hard to make sure everybody can vote. When people don't vote, then those that want to suppress you and your vote, they win. Don't let them win. You know, get out there, make your voices heard, and show them that we can have a better America than we have right now. And you can, again, all your information, michigan.gov/vote. You can literally find out it's your one-stop shop. Any question you have about voting, you can find it there.
Ruben did comment. He said the Equifax data breach.
Oh, got it. Yeah, we settled that quite some time ago. I don't have the information handy. If you'd like, I can get it sent to you, and then you can put it out on any of your websites or pages. But we did settle that a while ago. I don't have the information handy because it was actually over a year ago that we settled it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I know you got a lot to do. Thanks to Courtney. Thanks to everybody who was watching. We should talk again. We on your schedule. We love the communication.
Anytime. You know, I love coming on your show. So
thank you.
Just let me know, and I'm happy to come back. Okay.
Much love for you.
All right. Everybody stay safe. All right.
You too. Yep. Take care.
Bye, guys.
Bye.